Blog Talk Radio.
Oops, sorry. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck. I'm just doing the damn thing. Giving a fuck and doing the damn thing. I'm already on one. I'm Shirley Shepherd, your crazy host of Looking for My Give a Fuck. You know, Looking for My Give a Fuck. You know, Looking for My Give a Fuck. 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 Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Ooh, y'all, good morning, good morning. I am not ready. So y'all want to hear my opening one more time? You ain't got no choice because I'm not ready. So let's listen again. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck. I'm just doing the damn thing. Giving a fuck and doing the damn thing. I'm already on one. I'm Shirley Shepherd, your crazy host of Looking for My Give a Fuck. You know, Looking for My Give a Fuck. You know, Looking for My Give a Fuck. 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 Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Woo, okay. I was back. Let me double check if I'm back, because y'all, you don't even know. I want everyone to have their own show to see all the funny things that most hosts have to do like 2 minutes before their show. I'm making sure that everyone has the appropriate link, all my three people that listen. Then listen, my poor people. You guys, I have a lot to talk about. I do. It's going to be a 60-minute show today. But to be honest, it's one of those mornings. It's Easter, right? I mean, it's Easter Sunday. And that's what this show is about, a little bit of it, because I got other good stuff. Y'all, I have to have my morning mimosa. I'm going to take a sip now. I know that's wrong. Call me what you like, call me what you feel, but I needed that. How's everyone doing? If my favorite, can't say that. If my Lee J is listening, I hope you're ironing, and I hope you're thinking about grandma, because God dang it. Easter, I can close my eyes. In fact, I'm going to post in each Easter picture I'm sitting with and Grandma Shirley, and we cute with our Easter stuff on, and Mimi preparing us for church. Oh, brings tears to my eyes. Maybe everyone should just sit back and think about when we were younger, what Easter meant. I remember family. Like I say, Grandma took that picture. I'm going to put it on my Facebook page. I never understood truly, even though we went to church. I've never listened to what them people were talking about church. The church I went to, they were running around like chickens with their head cut off. I know that's wrong. But I never understood it. I am 57 years old. It wasn't until last night that I truly understood a horrible story. I remember Mom telling me, she told Jay about the purpose of Easter, the religious side of it, you know, Jesus being crucified for our sins. And she said, Jay listened intensely. Excuse me, everyone. I apologize. My brother listened intensely as she told him the story. And she was very young, like 8 or 9 maybe. And he looked at her and said, that's a horrible story, Mom. Why would a father do that to his child for us? Now, we laugh about that. At least I do every Easter because I remember my brother saying it until last night. My mom, I didn't know how much of a Catholic my mother is. You know, she's Catholic, didn't even tell us, because when we went to Mimi's church, that wasn't Catholic church, and Grandma didn't go to church. Grandma went to her and God had a situation. I have no idea what it was, but goddamn, she kept us all alive, put it that way. It wasn't until very recently where I found, I'm like, wow, mom's really Catholic. You can hear the beads. Why am I sharing that? Well, to be honest, everyone, my relationship with this thing called God has been really weird. Very weird. And most of it is I didn't even realize the amount of covenant. And if I'm saying these words wrong, I apologize. But the amount of covenant I've had bestowed upon me as a result of, I wouldn't want to call it my ignorance, but as a result of my, oh, just me. I think back when Mimi used to go make us go to the church, and if any of the family members are listening, I can't remember. It was like a Baptist church or something, but then we'd go into the basement and they'd be drinking and eating, you know. So, but people would be running around and they had white gloves on. I just know we had to go. Mother went to a Catholic school, college, so I didn't know she was Catholic. But I woke up in my religion, whatever it may be, never believing the story. But I was a little too young to say, that's a mean story. But as I get older, I say it as a joke. That's a fucked up story. Shit, Good Friday is not good for Jesus. I mean, I get mad. I know this is so ignorant, but it's my show. I can do what I want. I get fudging mad when I come across Good Friday. Ain't nothing good about Friday. For Jesus, that is. And I would kind of joke about it. As I'm getting older, I'm realizing how this world, I'm realizing my own whatever. I need to understand life, self, so on and so forth. So I'm coming to my own. And yesterday I spent the whole day with my mom. I spent a lot of time with mom. King's listening, and he spends Sunday with his dad. You guys, it's bittersweet. It's bittersweet. But then it hit me. I'm like, oh my gosh, mommy's getting older. You know, what am I going to do? And yesterday she said, where is it written you won't go before me? It wasn't in a bad way. She said, let's appreciate each other. Don't be afraid of what may happen with me. Enjoy what is happening and may happen to you. What? I have to mature up. What would happen? That's not today's story. So last night, after spending an amazing time with her, I come home and I'm exhausted. Had a long week. And I turned on my conservative radio, Lee J, Before You Kill Me. It was the Bible story. And I was like, this bullshit. Jesus is fine, you know, because this is before. This is when he's walking around. Everything's good. It's all to the good. And he's looking good. Everybody looking good. Everybody happy. You know, he's doing all kinds of miracles. And I'm like, whoo-hoo. Then I watched the beginning of the accusations. Now, I don't know the name of the people involved, so I'm not going to go there. Because I'll screw it all up, and he'd send me to heaven just to get the story right to come back and finish it. But moreover, I was like, what? Wait, what's happening here? Wait, what? You're jealous of what? You want to torture what? You want to have the people vote what? What? What the hell is going on here? And for some reason, I'm watching this believing that the story's going to be different. There's a lot of parts that really hurt me. I couldn't watch some of it, but I had to. In fact, I'm here to tell you I had to watch it twice. Because I had to understand the apostles or his followers. I had to watch it the second time to understand what that was about. What hurt me the most is after he was he got, you know, I guess whipped, slashes. I don't know. Sorry, you guys. But He was in the jail cell, and they made that horrible crown. And they stuck it to his head. You are a king. Boom, you know, I was like that. Now, this is bullshit. I'm sorry, I'm getting really upset. I'm like, what the hell? Why is this? And then I was, as I was watching it, some kept saying to me, this had to happen. I'm thinking, no, it didn't have to happen. This bullshit, it had to happen. But I was also looking at this character that was played in Jesus. And I don't know, he didn't look too confident about it having to happen. The pain and torture was real, as I felt. I've seen it before. I've seen other movies. I just place I was in yesterday. And it was like, he knew his father said, well, you're going to sacrifice for others. He's probably like, yeah, I'm good on that. And then when that shit started happening, he was like, what? Then, as he stood there, as he's hanging on this cross, he forgave everyone that did all that to him. I know his father told him, hey, you're going to forgive. But at some point, I'd be like, you know what? Check this out. I am not going to deal with this, Pop. You know? And then there's a part I've never seen before where one of the, what are they called? One of the guards or something, when it appeared that he had crossed over, took this long sword type thing and, punctured him. That thing, like, stick a fork in it. This story's not about Jesus right now. It's about the power of people. It's about the consciousness of the world. Remember, again, I don't know the story. They could have voted. You know, kill him or whatever. And who the hell are we? He came down here knowing that there was something going on in this world. And let's think about it now. How many of us, because of the political stance or just personal stance or just stance, are treated poorly by others? How many of us, maybe when they stick a fork in us, we don't necessarily die, but we're afraid to move, make change, and do anything to better ourselves because we're scared that we might get up on that platform and they say, what should we do? Kill her or keep her alive? I know, you know, it was really weird. What was it? Kill Jesus or, wait, save Jesus or the bad guy, right? I can't remember, the criminal. Jesus or the criminal. And when I watched it the second time, the criminal was somewhere around when Jesus was walking. I don't know the story, but I mean, I just saw this. I'm like, wait, I remember that. That's the guy earlier when I watched it the first time. They were like, the murderer, let him free, or Jesus. And they let the murderer. What is it about people just doing unconditional good and love and glowing that everyone hates? I remember sometimes I make statements, a lot of times I do. I'm probably never going to change that, but this statement came back to me because I'm thinking about it. And I said, someone was saying something about Jesus and, you know, they need money or whatever. Something about Jesus. And I said, you know, I don't know much about that man's story, but I know that every time he went somewhere, everyone knew what he needed, and it wasn't a dollar. That man looked at me as if I knew the Bible. I don't know nothing about the Bible, but all I know is that man would walk and people would, I would always think, why are you washing somebody's feet? That don't make no sense. Because he walked, his feet needed more nourishment. I never thought about it. When Jesus presented to people, he didn't have to ask, they already knew. How many of us present to people and we don't have to ask? They already know. Our mamas usually. Have you ever noticed when things get tough, you can just look at a parent. And depending on your relationship, you can just hug them in their bosom. Or with my mom and I, because we don't do a lot of hugging, she'd be like, baby girl, sit down. Let me, I got some good food for you. And even if it's not in that refrigerator, she, if something happens, I say no. It's like this Jesus person just knew. There was a part of something, something about the bread, the fish. And again, you guys, excuse my ignorance, but I'm looking at this differently. And he was able to make an abundance of food come. And then the people started kind of like clamoring for food, it looks like, or clamoring for him. I cannot quite remember. I don't think it was the food, because if they lift their baskets, their food was going to be put in the basket. By the way, I'm allergic to fish. I don't know what would have happened to me. Just so I know. But he says, I do not want this force. And he runs up the hill for 40 days. I didn't understand that. Maybe somebody can tell me that, but it seems like he was doing all this great stuff. People were there to hear him. Was it because he couldn't handle it? I don't want it to be forced. I'm sure there's a story about he went up 40 days, something days, maybe he talked to God about it or whatever. But what is it in life when we're overwhelmed and we have to do things and we feel it's forced? Jesus said, I got to go talk to somebody. This is forced. I can't, this is too much. I'm going to go up here and talk to my daddy about this, because this, I've never seen this shit before. These people are relying on me, and this is getting a little scary. Most of us don't do that. We just step into our forcedness, and we become a shell of ourselves because we are so enamored with, I don't know if that's the right word, we're so feeding off others' energy that we don't, in my opinion, fulfill our energy, our purpose. Like, for, you know, I don't know, but Jesus, all these people, food, everything. I mean, he was a savior. I mean, I'd be like, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I was hungry. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. I'd be like, yes. He's like, wait a minute. I'm feeding off your energy. I got to go back. I got to regroup to the energy that I need from the pureness of my Father. I'm sure that's what he must have been thinking. But how many of us live off everyone else's energy? Look at the entertainers today. It's not my story this week. Oh, gosh, what am I trying to say? I'm not sure what God or the Creator, I'm not sure why the world is set up like this in this realm. When you can tell me a beautiful story about a man that came just to spread love and the path to heavens, or I don't know exactly the words. And they're like, nigga, get up, out. You got to go. We're going to kill you, put you on display, hang you, then stick a fork in it. Excuse me? And then he comes, think it was, I can't remember the feet, was it Mary? I don't know. He comes back. And his disciples were like, dude, what? Now you coming back flying and shit. I'm putting the joke on there. But you coming back and now you're like, believe they just fucked you up for 3 days or a day or whatever, a week. And you want me to believe that you're real. You need to really go on, because you done caused enough stress and we hiding up in this mountain, because now if we're affiliated with you, it's going to be all bad. And he said, well, that's what y'all need to do. In so many words, that's my story, right? And then he touched them all, and, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. Those are people that saw Jesus when he came back and still had a hard time trying to figure out that was really Jesus, right? And just side note straight ahead, we're supposed to pray all day long to something we've never seen. But that's okay. I'm going to go back to disciples. It wasn't till, oh, shoot, maybe it's a Paul. I apologize. They were being searched for or something. They were, you know, the bad people were out to get him. And the scene that I didn't realize how much covenant I had on me was when they did the Lord's Prayer. And I'm like, you know, I know that prayer. But then when they all prayed and the things started shaking and the energy and the just, I even got caught up. This was first time around. I'm like, the Lord is not, you know, shall not want. And I'm just like, oh, wait, wow, this is amazing. Wait, whoa. And then Jesus sends them out to tell this world. And can you imagine? We all know about the Bible, right? Or whoever's Bible. But they had no proof. They could do a few miracles. But sometimes the miracle is not one that bestows it upon you. It's the one that believes the miracle in which it's being bestowed upon. Works both ways. So you send these people out to speak the word. And I found out at the end that every one of those disciples died horrifically sharing the word. And we're here today. And I was still of yesterday going, it's a bad motherfucking Friday. I don't think I'll ever say that again. Because it was a horrible Friday. And all people, whatever religion, spiritual, whatever, should never treat a man or a woman like that. I don't give a fuck if he was looking at two donkeys and an elephant and saying, this is God. You know what? Do you, bruh? But we didn't have to destroy a soul, a heart. God's son. Don't they do that to us now? I believe take advantage of things. They use the Bible and whatever. I'm not religious. But they, if you're different, they may not hang you immediately. They may not crucify you, but you're on a cross. You're bearing the crosses of a whole bunch of bullshit. Then they took him off the cross, and what do you want to do with him? How many of us have friends or have been to funerals, let's say, and everyone talk about how much they love that person, ain't seen that person in 28 years from funeral? That's about what I was equating when he was brought down from the cross, and his disciples, you know, what do you want to do with him? You know, the disciples take him and they wash him. Remember, and then they bury him in the cave again. I don't know the story. I'm just sitting here going, wow, wait, what's happening here? So, you know, people go to funerals and, oh, you haven't even seen the person. Be the first one at the church house or wherever for the funeral. Talking about, I remember when. I noticed that was extremely symbolic and amazing is after all that Jesus had gone through, when his disciples and Mother Mary, I mean, not Mother Mary, but Mary Magdalene, whatever her name is, I'm sorry, God, I'm so much trouble, I'm trying. They took him and they cleaned him. With love. I don't know about y'all. People I know that have died, we give them to the mortuary, and Mortuary Mary cleans them up and freshes them up. How many of us have taken time to wash the one that we love as they transcend into the next level? How many of us do that? No, we don't do it. Oh, the person died. Just take them and Billy Bob and I got the insurance and let's all get dressed so we can see Peter and then we ain't seen in 20 years. Mm-mm. I want people that care about me when I'm transitioning to love me even after, to wash me. It's a true funeral. We miss that. That Jesus story It's a cold-ass world out here, you guys. And there's not much we can do about it. We have to live about it. And we have to do the best that we can with what we have. And our purposeful being must be positive. And we have to continue to grow. Mr. King's listening. And I watch this man grow like and change up. I watch him help me when I couldn't help myself, which is often. He doesn't give up. He doesn't give up. And through the course of learning his lessons, which are from entertainment to love to loss, seriously, teaches us, and he shares with his music or his stories of, he got some good stories, y'all. But he doesn't tolerate a person that's going to second guess themselves, because y'all ain't got time for that. This world is serious. Serious on the ugly. So if you are walking around and doing things in the light of Jesus, I'm not necessarily speaking Jesus' way or anything, but if you're positive, if you're loving, things come to you, things happen, you're there. There's somebody always watching to bring you down. I mean, the disciples had a chance to see Jesus, and he came and he touched him, said, it's all good, don't worry about that. We don't get that. But how do we stay at that pillar of love? We get tired, get beat up. And Easter, if nothing more, is about some real unselfish stuff. I don't like the part, in my opinion, that Jesus said, son, I want you to go down there. That's between him and between Jesus and God. Because if my mom would have told me that, I'd be like, I'll just be on punishment for about 14 million years. Because I'd be like, that's not going to happen. But whatever, that's another part of the story. And there's another reason behind it. I'm just sticking on the fact that Jesus walked, as Kanye would say. That people just hate on sight. I don't know. It's pretty fucked up what they did. And now Jesus is within us. God, religion, it's all a part of us. When the hell are we able to dive into our souls and even meet with him, if that's where he is? We so fudging busy every day trying to get up, figure out how to eat, drink, get to work, fight the work, do this, get back, and realize you still only got 22 cents. And be happy if you're married or not. You know, when do I have time to delve into my heart, true hearts that it hasn't been tarnished by this life, to find Jesus? God, how many of us can really do some goddamn yoga and really tune out some shit? That's bullshit. I mean, I'm sorry, I tried. But they claim he's here. Maybe he need to do a photo shoot or something so I can... But I think we need to. I'm extremely blessed. I told you guys. And there are days I have hard times. For no other reason than I just can't compete. Sometimes you're just not going to win some and going to lose a lot. I've had so many businesses. I've had so many ideas. I had so many things. And I have failed at so many. It wasn't until I've gotten older that I realized my failures are my greatest strengths. It don't feel that way when you crying at night, you ain't got no money, and ain't nobody trying to lend you nothing. And the IRS has just called you. Well, they don't call. They knock on the door, right? They say failure is a good thing. No, failure fucking hurts. Because you have, in my opinion, I had placed who I believe I was on a happening. Let me also tell you guys something. I was very young. I think it was maybe 18, 19. I don't know if I shared this story before, but I really liked this guy. I'm going to say his name because he went out on me. Anyway, Frank, one of the finest men I've ever seen in my life. And Frank and I were just amazing couple. We were young. Oh, my God. one of the most incredible men. And we are both Tauruses, so you can only imagine. If you know anything about astrology, it was fire. Anyway, I went to see him, and he came from Boston. That's why I really liked his Boston accent. That was really cute. And he was black, mind you. I know my baby daddy's not, but this guy was black. And I went to his house. He told me to come over. I guess he got his girls mixed up, and ultimately his woman from Boston was there. Now, what's funny is he saw me pull up, and he was in the he was like lifting weights, but on the patio of his unit. You know, I'm not thinking there's anything wrong. He saw me. He jumped. And I was like, did he just really jump off the patio like he gonna get away? And he finally stopped running because it's like, dude, where are you really gonna go? This is funny. And we sat down in the actual weight room, and he just I'm sorry. I'm like, you know, I'm good. Don't worry about that. You know, kind of broke my heart a little bit. I mean, I was still young, very young, as I said. So I'm driving home, the 405. If you know anything about the 405, well, some of you who are listening, but the 405 North interchanges with the 118, which way is it? East. And the 118 is a freeway. Ultimately, I get off to come to, you know, my mom's house, the ghetto. But I remember crying, like, oh, this hurts. Shit, wait, I never had feelings like this. I'm like, wait, first of all, feelings were not one of my mainstay. I mean, first of all, I'm not going to give you no feelings. After my stepfather committed suicide, I stopped crying at 8:13. So I'm like, why the hell is this coming up? And it was hurting, y'all, hurting. And it wasn't like, oh, she's better than me. It was like, no, I just got dumped. Hello, right? I never thought anyone was better than me at that age. Now maybe so. But I remember going over the overpass from the 405 to the 118, and I said, if there is a God or a Jesus, this pain will stop. And yep, it stopped. So guess what Shirley said? Oh, that's psychosomatic. That pain didn't stop. And I kept searching for that pain to come back. That pain never came back. Didn't know what I was doing at the time, but I immediately went down to the tattoo parlor the next morning, and I put an angel on my breast. I tattooed an angel. Why did I do that? Well, my heart got broken, and all of a sudden, I don't feel the pain anymore. I mean, that pain that you just want to, you know. Y'all know that pain, whether it's relationships, lost ships, or something. That pain where some people don't come out of that pain. That pain be real. At that moment, that pain be real. So really quick, when I got home, I happened to be up all night, and there was a show, and it was a detective show, and they were saying, gosh, this is a very clean house, and it's so neat, but there's nothing about this person. Someone got murdered, and they couldn't tell anything about the person. There was nothing. It was just a beautiful home. No pictures, no nothing. And I happened to look around my home because I'm a little weird, and I'm like, shit, everything's neat and clean, but there's nothing here that would say, who the fuck is Shirley? So I went down. I swear to God, you guys. I decided, well, let me just collect angels. And so that when if a detective has to come into my house, they can begin to see who I am. And then I went and I got that tattoo. Within a day after I asked God to take away that pain or Jesus. I have been protected since that day. Didn't even know. There's a lot of ugly in me. I can get down and dirty. I make it hard to love. I could turn a person off when my heart's hurting because they still should be my friend. But there's a lot of things in my life where I should be dead. Those angels. So I never thought there was a God or Jesus, technically. I'm still trying to figure out. Every time I go over that overpass, you guys, I think the same thing. So about 6-7 months ago, I'm talking to a friend. I'm like, girl, I'm leaving God. That's the Bible. That's a book. That's some bullshit. And three people writing a book, that shit going to be wrong. You know? And my friend was like, who says that, right? I'm like, fuck that. I believe in angels. And she's letting me talk, and we're doing some other legal stuff. And she said, Shirley, it's like an hour-long meeting. And she said, Shirley. I said, yes. And she said, well, did you know that angels came from God? I said, excuse me? She said, there's no difference between angels, God, and Jesus. I'm like, oh, Lord. So all this time I've been believing in God, and it was hilarious. And that's what I realized, some of this stuff you can't separate even if you want to. So all this time I'm thinking I didn't believe in God, and I may not have believed in him per se. I sure did believe in one of his offsprings. Some of us, especially in this world, we got some hard shit we got to go through. I went through my stepfather committing suicide, 13, and washing the brains off the wall. Do you guys know it's not until recent that I'm beginning to work on the traumatic experience that put me through? I thought it was normal. I mean, he would say, hey, Shirley, on Tuesdays I'm going to kill you, and on Wednesdays I'm going to kill Nina and Gina. And we'd be like, okay, we have to stand in front of him. He would call us. Yes, yeah, I'm killing you on Tuesday. Okay. Tuesday was not ever a good day for me. And then mom would yell, Joe, you can kill your kids and not my kids. Okay, every day. He walked around with a rifle. He was in the military. He was having whatever was going on. So when he killed himself, everyone in the living room crying. I'm like, he was mean. Why are y'all crying? Because he was really mean to me. But I still respect him. Nowadays, I'm thinking about some of the stuff that he taught me. I do separate it from stuff that may not have been good. 10th grade, 13 years of age. There's 10 kids, so there's different mothers there, and my mom's in jail, or he's being questioned, did she kill him? And I have Aunt Patsy, others were there in our house to protect our side of it, but there's other mothers that came, and they were getting ready to go buck wild, not realizing that they were thinking my mom killed, her husband, which she did not. The safety went off the gun, that he was sleeping in bed with her next to him. My little sister at the end of the bed, and the safety chamber went off. Part of me thinks that I believe that Joe probably did that to save us, because he wasn't gonna be good. And so everyone's doing that, and I get up and I stand on top of the bed, kind of around the blood. I mean, the sheets and everything I rolled up, but the mattress is pretty bloody. But I needed to stand on a mattress to get all the stuff that's brains and stuff. I stopped growing, you guys, right there. 13 years of age, when a pimple is the most important thing in your life, or when what people think about you is important. Emotions, oh my God, you didn't have, either I'm over the top or I have none at all. And then wait, there's one more thing. I was reading, Dear God, It's Me, Margaret. I swear to you guys, I was reading that. And if you know anything about that book, she's in a glass, just a round glass, like a glass, literally, like a drinking glass. And she's like trying to get out of it. And it's really about her period. But me, it was like, Dear God, It's Me, Margaret. Because all I can recall is when I took that stuff off of the walls and I didn't cry and everyone else was crying. I looked at the book that I was reading. And I said, my God, I'm in this. I don't feel anything. And then as I got older, I had this protective shield that was great. But then they put me on Prozac when I was in my mid-20s So guess what? That glass became a metal shield. But I still fought, not knowing. It probably was this thing that Jesus or God or the angels give you. Because I was locked up. But I was still beautiful. I was still funny. I was still all these things. I was still a go-getter. I still wanted to be the best daughter for mom. I still wanted to do all these things. Because I was 13. If you've ever had a traumatic experience, you stop mentally growing at that moment. Until when? Until you deal with it. I always thought, I'm very strong. I cleaned the shit up. What is, nothing's wrong with me. I cleaned it up and I got things organized. I did everything. And I went to law school. I did everything mommy wanted me to do because. That's 5 years ago. I said, Mom, I did all this law school stuff for you. She said, why? I said, because you woke up one day and shortly after Joe Shepherd killed himself, or maybe years after, I can't quite remember. And you said, I want a lawyer in the family. And so I took on that fight. Because I couldn't continue with my ballet, so I'm going to just make my mommy happy. My mama said, I am so sorry. I don't remember saying that. I was probably drunk. 5 years ago. I said, what did you say, mother? I was probably drunk. Oh my God, all these years you haven't done what you wanted to do? Well, tell me, what do you want to do? I'm going to start a day spa. I want to do these. I want to be beautiful. She says, well, life is just ticking. And then I came upstairs and I cried. I said, oh my God, my whole life I've been waiting to be loved and righteous. And she said, baby, I don't remember being honest. My mom drank a lot. And she's been in AA for a long time, too. If the family doesn't know that, you should know it. It's not a secret. And I fell apart because I didn't know where to start. Where do you start when it's time to live for you? Where do you start when you realize, hey, I'm 13, but I'm, you know, 40, and I'm looking out going, wait a minute. Okay, I got to really navigate this world with feelings. It's not all about me, or it's not all about me sheltering. Well, how do I do this? All she could say was, you need to do it. I want you guys to know parents are perfect. It could have been enough to put most of us on in the grave. You guys know how hard I've worked to be perfect in this legal field. And my mom said to me, when I said, I don't like it, Mom, but I'm good. Well, honey, you're bipolar. You have adult ADHD. I'm like, oh, great. I probably have all those. Because you can't be good at something and hate it, and I'm fucking good at it. Because I can departmentalize, I guess, what it is. But I don't see the greatness when I do great work and I help people and I save people and I do all these things. Because I don't like it. So, traumatic. I thought I dealt with it. I thought because I cleaned the walls and I got probably cooked dinner. I think the next day I took the kids to school. I don't know what I did. I thought I got over anything that's traumatic, anything that I don't even know how it's defined. I just got a new life coach because I'm always afraid to go that next step. And we started talking about my life. And we have this workbook now, and I get to work through that. And maybe this is why I got so connected to the story yesterday, because maybe I get to finally feel. I'm 57, and maybe as I work through this traumatic experience and the strength that I unnecessarily bestowed upon me, I can work through it and I can lift stuff up. I can go back to that place and remove myself from it. And maybe as I have more, as Dave would say, more lives, more years behind me than in front of me, but I can enjoy the in front of me. I can enjoy understanding the story and respecting the story of Jesus. And I can look at life now and go, God, people are just mean for no reason. I can't fix that. And I can take the criticism from people that tell me I do something wrong. You could not do that to me. How many people could tell a 13-year-old something? Remember, I was stuck there for years. One thing good about being 13 in your mind, there's nothing you think you can't do. Between Mother One and lawyer and me working for this mean entertainment attorney, he got on my nerves one day. I was a legal secretary for him. So I woke up and said, you know, I'm just going to go to law school. And I said, I'm going to negotiate across the table from you because I know you don't know how to write because I do all your letters. And he said, I look forward to it. That was Fishback, Perlstein, and Yanni. I've seen Mr. Fishback. He follows me on Facebook. What is the story about? What is today about? I think it sucks that someone had to be so, Jesus had to be so brutally attacked and had to come back and talk to his followers like, y'all for reals, I'm really here. but I'm really here. And they still have the hiccup until they start this praying thing. We don't have him coming down, or do we? Every part of the story I just said, from the crying to watching a show that says make sure you have something around you that tells people who you are, which became the angels, which became probably my covenants for life, which has shielded me and also opened up who I am because finally I got that life coach. I was afraid of someone telling me what was wrong with me, so I would take 800 milligrams of Prozac and 300 milligrams of Wellbutrin. And they have me on some other things, too. But recently I stopped, you know. Oh, by the way, just so you know, if you guys get on Prozac and you're on Prozac for a long time as you start to taper off Prozac, you will find it, you will find that your brain, it's like the neurons that talk to each other. When Prozac comes into place, it kind of mimics like a third. In other words, it separates the neurons or something like that. So your regular mind doesn't work. It's working off of Prozac. So I don't know how to do that. So Prozac went in and configured my mind. What does that mean? Well, my doctor and I tried to get me off of it slowly but surely last 2 years. The last 6 months, you forget everything. You're like, what's going on? Prozac destroyed brain being able to think on its own. It doesn't know what to do anymore. So my doctor said, well, being that you do have some depression, which, you know, shit, I should, but he said, it's going to take a year or longer. It's going to be one of the toughest years of your life. You're going to have to kind of learn all over again with your brain without a substance. Or you stay on Prozac for the rest of your life because your brain does not know how to work without it. I tried to get off for a couple of months, but I work in an industry that doesn't allow my brain not to think. So I'll be on it for life. Don't do it. Find that God, find that angel, find that coach, find that friend. It's not that my brain's not capable. It's just that it has used other means to, you know, to think. And it would take a year or longer for those neurons to get back to where, you know, my brain's thinking without the medicine. It takes a very long time. And like I said, during that time, for a couple months, it's like I couldn't remember my name. I'm just like, what the hell? I get headaches. Someone would ask me to do something and I literally would freeze because I didn't know where to start. So when people, if you're on any kind of medicine and people say, oh, just get off of it. No, go talk to your doctor. And there might be a chance that it might be something you have to live with, but that doesn't mean it has to control you. I am on it, but I was at 800 milligrams, not 800, 80 milligrams. I'm down to 20. I can't miss a day on that 20, you know, because my brain's like, hello, wait a minute. We went from 80 milligrams to 20 now. Maybe next year we'll get down to 10. But I just say that to say, please, life is hard. They're throwing the medications at you. When you get on Prozac, everything in your brain clamps. It clamps. Because usually you're going through emotional up and downs or whatever. And once it clamps, you have no more emotions. And the only time you realize you're mad is when you go black. Like the cops do. Cops are on a lot of medication, by the way. Side note. And when I realize you have pissed me off when I'm on a high dosage of Prozac, which I'm not on that anymore, but when I realize you've pissed me off, you have broken the barrier of the mental plate on me because I'm taking Prozac. It just locks everything up. And then when I realize I'm mad or something like that, I'm at 200%. That's where we are these days. A lot of us are on those meds, and you don't realize until you're at 10% how pissed off you are. I mean, 100%. Because Prozac doesn't give you the option once it puts that metal clamp on your brain. It doesn't give you the option to control your emotions. They control and clamp it. So, again, I'm going to say this. When you wake up and you're fucking pissed, you have broken through just a little bit that metal, you know, thing on your head. Just a little bit of, I know it sounds really weird, but you have just broken through just enough. And when you do that, then the 100% that was, you know, could come out before. Usually if you're not on medicine, you know, you someone piss you off, you're like, okay, boom. Prozac now. I'd be like, cool, and you'll piss me off. And I'll be like, depending on how pissed off I am at that point, it doesn't go from, okay. It goes from what? Motherfucker, bam. The cops have that a lot. Remember, I was a criminal justice major. So please, please do not get on Prozac. Please. But life is hard. I'm Prozac takes about 28 days to get out of your system, if not longer. And once it's out of your system, I say neurons in the brain don't know how to work, so that's horrible. But there is something else I do take, I don't need it as much as I used to. It's called Wellbutrin. That gets out of your body in less than 24 hours, 8 hours. It's the most amazing thing. If they would have given me Wellbutrin, I wouldn't have bothered with Prozac. But Wellbutrin does other things that Prozac doesn't do anyway. The bottom line with Wellbutrin, it gives you energy. It gives you the ability to get up and walk through that depression and do whatever you have to do. It is a miracle. And again, it's cheap. And they don't want you to know about it because you don't need it often and you will be fine. Now, why am I saying that? Well, I just told you a story about Jesus and Easter. It's real tough out there. But if you're going to do some of this stuff, Wellbutrin's number one. Call me. I've been on everyone. Wellbutrin comes in and out of your body, and it just gives you that. It doesn't clamp your brain. It doesn't do anything. It lifts you up. Look it up. It just kind of lifts you, and it gets that energy. And sometimes if you're down out in Beverly Hills, you just need that energy. Right, and not that's not bad energy. It doesn't take you to a hole. It just kind of like, Shirley, maybe go outside. Okay. Where Prozac will be like, you're depressing, just claps your brain. You ain't thinking about going outside. Borderline probably paranoid, right? I just wanted to share some of those things with you guys because, you know, I am pretty perfect. Not afraid to share these stories anymore. This Jesus died horrifically for me to be able to be on this damn show. And I know what I've said behind closed doors. I know God was like, oh, Lord Jesus, help me, help her. It doesn't matter where you get it, just get it. I can walk differently now in this world. I can think differently. I can accept the fact that I will be on a pharmaceutical medicine for my whole life. By the way, every 6 months you got to get blood work. Mm-hmm. Because it can destroy your organs. I take responsibility. I went to the doctor and asked for help. Now, I'm going to bring this all back home. When you're hurting, when you don't understand, when you feel like you're 13, because sometimes life will make you feel like you're 13 at 57, but when you feel down and out, find that space of love, which would be me just looking at my mom, and she would be like, oh, you're giving me that little baby face when I used to put you on the plane to go see grandma. It was such a mommy, I don't want to go, but I want to go face. And she'll see that face and she just starts doing what she needs to do. I'm complicated, but she does what she needs to do. Find that bosom. Find something. Because not everybody's going to be alive that understands when you walk in the room that you're hurting. Nor will they care. Hopefully you just have that friend, that family member, that mom, cousins, that can say, you know what, let's just go have a beer. We don't even have to talk about it. I love my family for that because they do that. Back to my brother. Mom, that was a horrible story you told me about Jesus. Mother never said part two about the story. And that's where Jay stopped. He doesn't do Bible. I hope to see my brother today so I can tell him my experience. And maybe he will see about what the disciples did and how, you know, and maybe how we're here. I mean, I don't know. But we stopped. I mean, my mom didn't tell the whole story. There's one other thing I have on my list that I want to get to really quick. I got 4 minutes, and I'm sorry I'm being a big baby today, but it's my show. I can do that. I was taking my mom around yesterday, and it was raining hard out here, and I love to drive. Nothing bothers me in the rain, hail, snow. I'm just a great driver. And my mom said, you are a great driver. And I said, I know, because every time I would drive or learned how to drive, you always instilled in me I was a great driver. And I'm not bothered with this rain coming down, and I know we're safe. I'm just so confident. And then it hit me. I said, Mom, you didn't compliment me often because this is the only thing that I'm that confident about. As parents, as grandparents, as friends, compliments somehow go into our good psyche if they're true and honest. And when we are within that confident zone, like I was driving yesterday, you never have fear. Give compliments where they're due. You'll be surprised how children are waiting on, you know, whether we're allowed to or not, for our parents to say, you know, you're really good at that. Oh, thank God. Or you're really not good at that. Oh, thank God. And then there are friends like J.K. who made it hard for me to understand life growing up and consistency. That's why every morning, boys and girls, I do this show every Sunday. Because he taught me consistency as a part of growing. And as a 13-year-old, mentally at times, I didn't acknowledge that. I do now. You guys, consistency is key. Unfortunately, I got to be on Prozac consistently, but no, it's key. Compliments are imperative. 2 minutes, it's Easter. We're all going to be looking for eggs, whatever. I think I'm going to do something different. I'm going to get some plastic eggs. I just thought about this. And I'm going to put some fun stuff inside of the plastic eggs so that when people open them, they'll have good sayings, they'll have something, they'll get a gift certificate, I don't know. But I'm going to do some golden eggs, and I'll put it on Facebook maybe. Not necessarily golden. I want mine to be red eggs. Because I want it to be more than just candy and all that. I want it to be a remembrance of a sacrifice. And if you guys, my last minute, we make sacrifices all day long. But who takes us off that cross when we're tired? Before they stick a fork in it. Who's down below watching and being there? Who carries on your, if it's business or your words of wisdom? We're all Jesus in a sense, right? I don't know. But I will say this. I apologize to him for my jokes. I apologize to myself for not understanding the blessings, although they're traumatic. I'm okay. Y'all, it's a hell of a show, huh? Yep. But that's what this is about. I want everyone to have a great Easter, a great every day. Do you get a coach, live well, drink. I only had one drink during my show. I need to have two. Mr. King, you'd be cracking me up on your show in the morning. King's in the morning, you guys. If you need the link, Facebook. If not, Blog Talk Radio. But this nigga will start slurping. And it's so funny. And I can't quite do like he does. All right, you guys. Continue to make great memories. But just be great. Be you. Do all that. And when you're hanging in, you know, a little bit of sadness, look down and see who's there for you. All right, you guys, goodbye for the day. Good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck. I'm just doing the damn thing. Giving a fuck and doing the damn thing. I'm already on one. I'm Shirley Shepherd, your crazy host of Looking for My Give a Fuck. You know, looking for my give a fuck. Good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd.